Welcome to Fun Friday. Happy Easter weekend. This is a great way to kick it off. We're here with Tim Lammers for our movie reviews, and it's brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. Tim, what do you have for us today?
Well, I have actually a couple films playing in theaters, but the first one, the big release, Kelly, that is playing in theaters is also playing on HBO Max. It's a Warner Brothers film, something I've been looking forward to for a long time. It is Godzilla versus Kong, And there's been three other movies in what they call the Monsterverse. 7 years ago, we had Godzilla. 4 years ago, we had Kong Skull Island. But now, finally, these two titans are clashing on the big screen for the first time in this Monsterverse. Of course, in previous films over the years, we've seen that sort of thing happen. But now we're talking about doing it with very, very elaborate special effects. Not a guy in a gorilla suit and a guy in a rubber suit, you know, clashing on a set that's made out of cardboard buildings. Nothing like that. I love those movies. Don't get me wrong. And they're still classics in my heart. But you know what? This is great that they rebooted this material because it looks spectacular on film. Now, I have to say that because I watched it on HBO Max. There wasn't a screening for this one. I can't help but think it's really spectacular on the big screen.
Oh, fun. And so you're a fan of these movies anyway. Is it swaying you, or is it actually is there a good plot?
Oh, it's a great plot. I mean, you know, it takes place 5 years after Godzilla King of the Monsters in 2019. And of course, that was the first Godzilla sequel. This is set 5 years after those events. The King of the Monsters, in that film, Godzilla defeated Rodan and Ghidorah to become what they thought was a savior for humanity. But all of a sudden, Godzilla turns on everybody, attacks this scientific research facility, and six people die. And they said, okay, we got to nip this thing in the bud before it gets out of hand. We know somebody can do it. His name is King Kong. He lives on Skull Island. He can't get off of the island because that's surrounded by a force field. So the idea is for them to get Kong to lure Godzilla away from civilization and bring him to a place that's mythical. They don't know if it exists or not, but it's called Hollow Earth. It's a remote place under the surface of Earth, located down by Antarctica. And it's the legendary home of the Titans, where you got, you know, the Godzilla, Kong, and a myriad of other creatures from that prehistoric era living. So, you know, it's really interesting to me, Kelly, because you hear the title, Godzilla versus Kong. You get that matchup about 40 minutes in, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, normally wouldn't they save this thing for the end and build it up to the third act? The thing is that there's something else going on where they bring in a major character from those old films that people know and love. And I don't want to reveal it because I don't like doing spoilers, even though it might be out there. And that's cool. Okay. Yeah. So you got other characters, other humans, other, you know, there's much more going on than you would think.
Okay.
And so that's why this film really works. It's not just a, you know, black and white, let's do the standard battle between the Titans. This thing is much more complex. It's got more of a scientific bend to it. I think that allows for the filmmakers to be more creative.
Okay.
You got really advanced technology and things like that. So they really take the story to places they couldn't go before film technology gave them this ability. So that's what I think really makes this one really interesting and really, I think, a must-see.
So, you know, when I was young, I got to see all these other movies when I was a kid. Are these kid-friendly or not so much?
You know, that's tough. I mean, look, I think the inclination is for people wanting to show it to their kids. You know, it's hard to even judge a cutoff. I mean, these are PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
And generally, you get those sorts of things because no F-bombs are allowed in it, right? And the violence, it's there, but it's kind of like a cage match, a wrestling match between Godzilla and Kong. So it's a lot of fists of fury and fire breathing and stuff like that. You know, look, I think it could be scary, but the interesting thing about it is that one of the characters in this is a very young girl who can't speak, but she knows sign language, and actually Kong can understand her. So there is a young protagonist in this movie, which makes it interesting, but I don't know if people should be fooled by that and saying, oh, it's a kid movie because there's a little kid. You know, obviously tweens, teens and above, you know, that they're going to be good with it. I don't know about little kids. You know, look, if it's available on HBO Max, if you're going to watch it that way, watch the movie first and then make your own judgment.
There you go. That's a great idea. I just keep thinking it's going to be a big weekend, kind of Easter weekend, families kind of getting together and maybe wanting to do some things together. So thought they might want to watch that and have a little excitement, but it could be maybe for the older crowd and they can decide later if the kids should watch.
Sure.
All right. And then we want to talk about another film called French Exit.
Yeah. I mean, now this is definitely for the older crowd. Look, I love Michelle Pfeiffer. It's hard to believe her film debut was in, I think it was Grease 2, where she took over for Olivia Newton-John, or it was Scarface, one of those two, but obviously been around for decades. Yeah. Doesn't look like she aged a day. But here she plays this aging socialite who has just basically had life on a platter. When her husband passed away, left her a lot of money. She pulled her son out of boarding school and just kind of live life the way they please to. But that money's going to run out after a certain amount of time, and it does here. So her strategy is to just start over altogether, sell the assets in New York City, go to Paris, live in an apartment that a friend has. But you know what? I mean, if you've never been used to working, you're going to, at some point, you're not going to get another job. The money's going to run out. So what's going to happen? What is her end game here? So that's really fascinating. I like that setup. But one thing I don't like about it is she is such of an unlikable character, which tells you how great of an actor Michelle Pfeiffer is. She makes this person so unlikable.
Yeah.
But you know, Kelly, and I think we talked about this. Remember I Care a Lot from Netflix?
Yes.
And the hateable lead character in that film. There were several unlikable people, but Rosamund Pike was just downright hateable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go so far with Michelle's character here. She's not hateable. She's just a completely out of touch snob that just doesn't get it.
Wow.
Either way, I think you find it hard, and you probably found it hard watching I Care a Lot. It's hard to get behind characters like that, especially in a film where there aren't any, everybody's flawed,
right.
You know? Yeah. So it's a hard movie to enjoy in a sort of way. There are some kind-hearted characters in this, but Michelle's driving the whole thing. So
does she ever come around even in the end? Does she start?
Slightly. And then the thing is with the ending is sort of is open for interpretation too. So, but the thing is, it's just some really bizarre things go on in here. I think they were trying to be quirky, and that's fine. I think they succeeded at that. You just have to know going in that this isn't your standard. It's a dark comedy. It's not a comedy, you know.
Yeah.
There are funny, absurd moments that you laugh at. But okay, it's not a joke a minute sort of movie.
Now, sometimes you can watch a movie twice and go, I'm glad I watched it the second time. There was things I didn't catch. You don't think this is going to be one of those?
Yeah, I don't know, because they got to get it through it the first time, you know, and obviously with a movie like Kong and Godzilla versus Kong, I tend to throw Kong in there first because I like him better. I don't know why, but it is Godzilla versus Kong. I mean, you have the opportunity, you're done. It's like, wow, I want to go back and I want to see things and all that.
Yeah.
Here, obviously, it's a theatrical thing, whether people are going to want to pay again when they might be reluctant about going to the theater in the first place. I just don't know. Mm. It's one of those actor showcases that, you know, they really pushed Michelle Pfeiffer heavy for, oddly enough, I think it was Best Supporting Actress for the Oscars. She's not a supporting actress. This is her movie, which that seemed bizarre to me. Either way, she wasn't nominated. Does it fit well into her stellar body of work? Absolutely it does. She's a great actor.
Yeah.
But again, she's so great that it's like, yeah, you convinced me that I don't want to care about your character.
Yeah,
it's
wow.
That sort of thing, yeah.
She's that good. And maybe, you know, and what do you do with a character like that? You can read the script and kind of see it could go and it could come together in the end. And I'm sure a lot of actors and actresses go into it thinking, yeah, I can see the vision. If they end up this way, it's going to turn out a certain way. And sometimes it just doesn't make it.
I would say it's very, very slight redemption. I wouldn't call it a full redemption by any stretch.
Yeah.
And then that whole idea is somewhat thrown away by the ending, where you really kind of don't know think exactly. Yeah. You know, look, these movies are independent films. They don't cost a lot of money to make. You can take creative risks. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer certainly is one of those people that can take a huge creative risk in her career because she's set. And that's great, though, because you don't want to see actors playing the same roles all the time. Right. You want to see them take risks, and that's great. And I think she's done a heck of a job doing that. You know, plus she's in superhero movies now, too. Yeah. So she's got all the bases covered. Yeah, as Janet Van Dyne in the Ant-Man movies, and she appeared briefly as well in the last Avengers film. So, yeah, I just, that's the main reason I wanted to review it, because I love what she does, and impressive, but the end result of that impressive is, you really are an unlikable character. How many times can I say that?
Yeah, right. That is the bottom line. All right. Well, so we've got two options. Definitely, I think if I'm going to pick one, I'm going Godzilla versus Kong.
Absolutely. I mean, look, HBO Max, if you have that in your cable system, it's the sort of thing I think you can get for free, but you know, otherwise it's $15 a month, but Warner Brothers has one heck of a catalog, and they own Turner Classic Movies, all that sort of stuff too. So there's far more than you could ever imagine on that streaming service. So again, I think it's a pretty good bargain for $15 a month, you know, to see a movie, even if you're doing it for Godzilla versus Kong. Look, you and your friends go, it's going to cost a lot more.
Yeah.
That's a good way of justifying it.
All right, Tim, we got to go. We've got news coming up here at the bottom of the hour. But if people want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
DirectConversations.com is my website. And you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Lammers Films.
All right. Thanks, Tim. It's Tim Lammers for our movie reviews, brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant. We'll be back.